discussing yesterday the question with regard to the Isser of Lifnei Iver. We had first been discussing the question of driving a non-Jew to church for church services. We suggested that's not an Isser of Lifnei Iver because the non-Jew can get there even without your help. And most it would be an Isser of Misayeya. And the Shach in Simon Kufnan Alf writes that when dealing with a non-Jew, there's no Isser of Misayeya because you're not Mechuyev to stop them from doing an Avera. That was our first discussion. And then towards the end of the shir, we touched upon another shaila, this one raised by the Tzitz Eliezer, with regard to a doctor in a hospital setting being requested to perform procedures that are halachically questionable. And he mentioned three examples. An anesthesiologist who's requested to provide anesthesia to a woman undergoing an abortion that is not halachically sanctioned. Or perhaps a technician asked to perform a sonogram or an ultrasound on a pregnant woman that will be used to determine whether they should perform an abortion that, once again, might not be halachically justifiable. And the third case they mentioned was someone asked to perform a test to determine if a patient is medically, clinically brain dead, and then the organs would be harvested for transplant purposes. And according to most poskim, that would also be a very serious violation of Torah law. So as it was asked, can the doctor, technician involved perform these procedures requested of him? Does he have to be willing to give up his job to avoid participating in what might be considered an Isser of Lifnei Iver? So we mentioned yesterday that the Tzitz Eliezer cites in Etziv, in his Tshuvas Meshiv Davar, who writes that according to some Rishonim, there is a distinction whether the action that I'm performing is being performed at the moment the Aveira is being done, such as in the classical example in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, Daf Vav, I hand a cup of wine to the Nazir. As soon as I give it to him, he drinks it. I am performing an act right at the moment that he's going to do the Isser. That's Lifnei Iver. But if the action that I'm doing is only a prelude to the subsequent Aveira, according to some Rishonim, that's not Lifnei Iver. So Mati Krass yesterday pointed out that the first case I just mentioned of the anesthesiologist putting someone under anesthesia for the abortion, that seems to be mamish b'shas maisa. So look back at the tshuva, and it's Tzitz Eliezer, when he quotes this argument, he says this argument certainly applies to the second and third cases, the sonogram being used to determine should an abortion be done, and even the case of the technician testing for brainstem death to determine if a transplant should be then undertaken. He says, b'myuchad, in those cases, this svara applies. Meaning even he is acknowledging that that first case where the anesthesiologist is doing the anesthesia as the abortion is about to be performed, while it's to be performed, even Tzitz Eliezer acknowledges that might not be a good argument because that is really being done at the moment of the procedure. So that was what we mentioned yesterday. And we then, towards the end of the shir, segued into a, again, relevant, related topic of Lifnei Iver with regard to giving food or drink to someone who either has not and will not wash his hands for the bread that you give him, or someone who has not and will not make a bracha on the food that you give him. What's the halacha there? And in fact, the truth is that in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Kuf Samach Tes, it's actually a Ramah who writes, the Shulchan Aruch, I'm sorry, says, in Sif Beis, Lo yitein le'echol ela lemi sheyodeh bo sheyavarech. So this is a Psak in Shulchan Aruch, quoting a Ben Yonah, that one is not supposed to give food to someone else to eat unless you know that he is going to make a bracha. Because otherwise, obviously, you're going to be in violation of the Iver. He's going to be eating without a bracha, and you are providing the food to him right then and there for him to eat. And this is a question that's dealt with by contemporary poskim. I remember when I was in high school and we had a very fine, wonderful teacher from one of our high school courses, Jewish fellow, not frum, and like clockwork, every class, before class started, he would point to one of the kids in the class, say, get me some water, please. Every single class, twice a week, standard. And this mamish the shaila. He's not going to make a bracha. You're having the cup of water. He's drinking it right then and there. And are you in violation of lifnei iver by facilitating for him an issur drabanan? This happens every single class throughout the 2 years that I was in his class. So it's very serious shaila. So Shlomo Zalman Arbach addresses this shaila in Mincha Shlomo Simin Lamed Hey. He has an interesting argument, and the way he presents the shaila is as follows. He says, let's say you're receiving a distinguished guest who's not from, but he has an affection for Bnei Torah. He supports institutions of Torah. Okay, he's a patron of yeshivas, etc. If you don't treat him courteously when he comes to your home, Shlomo Zalman writes, for example, you don't serve him food or drink, or if you do serve him, but you ask him to make a bracha, he's going to get very offended, and he might even get angry. And as a result, it might turn out that he will become even resentful and more distant from Kites. So by you mistreating him in his mind, it might have a boomerang effect. He might even bear resentment against from people, be angry against them. So after presenting the child that way, that the failure to treat him courteously might result in a negative ramifications, Shlomo Zalman says, in that case, I think it's appropriate, he says, to give him food, give him drink, not to be worried about lifnei iver. Why? Because, and here's his interesting argument, he says, giving someone food and drink when he's not going to make a bracha is nesinas michshol. That's causing him to be over an aveira. Well, here, by not giving him food and drink, says Rishon Zalman, you're going to lead him to making a greater aveira. Michshol gadol ma'od. Why? Because you're going to lead him to sin against fellow Jews, make him more distant from religion, make him more resentful. So Shlomo Zalman, rather than saying there's no lifnei iver involved, says that you have to choose between the two michsholim. Which one is worse? By giving food and drink, he won't make a bracha. Not giving food and drink, that's going to end up being even worse on his end in terms of what the ramifications will be. So that's Shlomo Zalman's argument in terms of how to conduct oneself under such circumstances. Now, does that apply to every time you have a non-frum guest who's expecting some drink to be offered to him? If I don't give him the drink, so he'll become angry and resentful and more distant from religion? Maybe. Maybe he might walk away with a negative impression of frum Jews, and maybe Shlomo Zalman's logic would still apply. That's Shlomo Zalman's first... that's another serious shiloh. That's a big machlokas, a poskim of Moshe Feinstein, of Moshe Sternbach. Rosh Weiss has a chum on that as well. Okay, that's a very important child as well. Maybe we'll get to that first, finish off this particular issue here. The Kovetz Chuvas, Rav Yashiv, in Chelek Aleph Simin Chaf, was asked a similar shaila about the directors of a large firm who always appoint one of their employees that every day for lunch, you bring me my lunch. And this director is not going to make brachas, he's not from. Or the same firm, whenever there's a visiting business associate coming for a meeting, so one of the employees is supposed to serve the guest food and drinks in the conference room. And the concern is, if I'm going to refuse such a direct request, so I'll be out the next pink slip day, I'll be one of them. What are you supposed to do? So Rabbi Yashu cites that Shulchan Aruch Kuf Samach Tes we just mentioned, that you can't serve food to someone who's not going to make a bracha, or to someone who hasn't washed his hands for bread. And Rabbi Yashu says as follows. Here he cites an argument we mentioned yesterday from the Torah's Chesed of Lublin, Simon Hay. It says like this. And he has a combination of factors here. He says, if, number one, the food would be accessible to the individual without your help. Okay, so there's no lifnei iver d'oraisa, it's misayeya. The manager asks me to serve him lunch. If I don't do it, he'll be mad, he'll be angry, but I'll get the lunch himself. So it's accessible to him regardless. It's number one. There's no issur d'oraisa, it's an issur misayeya, d'rabanan. Number two, says Ovel Yashiv, and this is the svar I mentioned yesterday, I'm not serving him a chef socialist. I'm not giving him a kosher yayin. I'm not giving him, if he's a nazir, I'm not giving him treif. I'm giving him kosher food. LMI. He has a chiyuv to wash. He has a chiyuv to make a bracha, and he's going to neglect his chiyuv. I'm not giving him a Michael Shalisser. I'm giving him a Michael Heter. He's the one who's then going to be neglecting to make the bracha. So given that combination of factors, Rav Yashiv writes, once again, it's an Issa Drabbanan because it's only Misayeya. He'll get the food regardless. He'll just be angry at me, and I'm just asked to facilitate making it easier for him. That's number one. Number two, I'm not giving him a Michael Shalisser. I'm giving him food, which is mutter, and he's neglecting his chiyuv to make a bracha. So in those circumstances, Rav Yashiv paskins, mutter, that's okay. So you have those two combination of factors. So if my teacher would be annoyed if I were to turn down his request for a cup of water, but he'd go down the hall to the water fountain and get the cup of water himself. So that's only misayeya. It's only nisidra bun of misayeya. And number two, I'm giving him kosher water. He's just not making the bracha. So under those circumstances, Rav Yashiv says, it would be mutter to give him the water as requested. That's Rav Yashiv's psak here in Kovitz Shuvas Chelik Alf Simin Chaf. Right, very good question. So you're serving food to non-frum people who, again, are not going to make... Is it kosher food or trade food? So it's kosher food, so it's not making a bracha. Kosher food. Yeah, so someone's a waiter. So that's also the shaila. The employee is asked to present food and drink to the visiting business associates for the business meeting, and then I can make a bracha. So Rabbi Yashiv does write this following. He says that if, let's say, you're going to lose your job, you will not have parnasa as a result. He says the following. He says, that factor combined with the following. He says, if you don't serve it, someone else will give them the food anyways. Okay, so that's another factor. If I don't do it, someone else will give them the food anyways. And on top of that, not making a bracha is not an issa d'oraisa, it's an issa d'rabbanan. So that's another svar l'hakel, that the lifnei iver is that I'm causing him to violate an issa d'rabbanan. Now that, Rav Yashiv says, is a shaylin achronim. Can I violate lifnei iver d'oraisa by making someone violate an issa d'rabbanan? On the one hand, maybe yes, that's an issa d'oraisa lifnei iver because it's no different than giving someone an eitza she'eino hogenes, giving someone an inappropriate piece of advice. So although the issa is an issa d'rabbanan that he's violating, but I can still be over an issa d'oraisa lifnei iver by having him violate an issa d'rabbanan. But even so, there's a discussion in Achronim. So Rav Yashiv says, combining the factors, the number one, if I don't serve the guests in the hotel the food I'm supposed to serve them, I'll lose my job. I won't be able to easily find another parnasa. Number two, they'll get the food regardless. Someone else will serve it to them after I'm fired. Number three, the issur they're going to violate is an issur d'rabbanan of not making a bracha. So given those combination of factors, Rav Yashiv says, if your job and parnasa is at stake, then you would be allowed to serve the food, worst comes to worst, if you're stuck in such a scenario. So, so no one says you can't sell food in a grocery that you own to a non-religious Jew. The question is, if I serve the person as his waiter, food in front of him, ready to eat, that's the shiloh. See, these dinners, the waiters are not Jewish. The waiters are not from, not Jewish, I should say.
The waiters are Jewish. Many of these
they are. Okay. So again, if the waiters are not Jewish, there's no problem because I'm not doing anything more than selling food to a non-frum customer, which is okay. If the waiters are Jewish, then you're right. Then you have a shiloh, which you have to then turn to these two poskim to see if these arguments apply in that scenario.